It's always fun hearing the stories about what God is doing in the lives of our students. Students, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for getting up here, for sharing what God has been doing in your lives. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult to get up, and it's difficult for adults to get up here and talk in front of a bunch of people. And so I'm proud of you for sharing about what God has been doing this morning. As we've heard the testimonies of the students and heard from the mentors, I'm reminded about how important it is for us to stay connected. To stay connected to Jesus, but also stay connected to other believers. These students need you. These students need you as a church. So the Fuller Youth Institute, a leader in youth ministry, has done studies on students, and students after they graduate from high school, they have found that good Christian church-going students, after they graduated from high school, that are about 40 to 50% end up leaving their faith and the church as a whole after high school. And many of them aren't coming back. As a pastor of youth that has had hundreds of youth over the 20-plus years that I've served in youth ministry, I'm not okay with these statistics. I'm not okay with it. We have 4 more years with these students. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So the Fuller Youth Institute, they've done all these studies, and they said, you know what? There's no magic bullet to this. There's nothing that says you have to do this in order for it to happen. But they have said and looked at students that have stuck with their faith after high school. And they call it sticky faith. And they did say that those that have sticky faith have a vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus that is integrated in every area of their lives, both internally and externally, a faith that is active in prayer and grounded in reading Scripture, a faith in Jesus that influences the decisions we make, the words that we say, influences everything about us. It shapes the way that we live and how we interact with the world around us, a faith that recognizes that we are in process of growth, discerning and seeking a life with and for God. This is a desire for all of our students, that they have this sticky faith, that they have this faith that's integrated in every aspect of their lives. As I said, there's no magic bullet, but they have discovered that churches that have students that have this sticky faith, there's 3 things that these churches do. The first one is they have a congregation that prays for the students. They have a congregation that is praying for the students, that their lives will be changed by Jesus. We need to continue to pray that these students will continue to have lives that are changed by Jesus, that these students will continue to have a passion for God's Word and studying God's Word, that their lives will show Jesus internally and externally. And I'm grateful that Clay Center Covenant Church is a praying church. They are a church that knows how to pray. So my encouragement to you is continue praying for our students. Only God could change the heart. So we need to pray that God continues to change the students' hearts, but also our hearts as well. The second thing is that they need adults investing in their lives. So Chap Clark, a leader in youth ministry, suggests that in order for students to have this sticky faith, churches need to adopt a 5-to-1 ratio. We need to have 5 adults for every 1 student. This means that every student needs at least 5 relationships with adults in their church who are in some way loving them, caring for them, pouring themselves into them. This doesn't just happen when you hire a youth pastor or have amazing youth leaders, but it takes the church. It's not a programmatic mentoring, but an organic mentoring that takes place. My friends, it's the grandmas and the grandpas in the congregations. It's the parents of friends. It is the coaches, the teachers, the adults with the same values pouring into the lives of the students and encouraging them to grow in their faith. People who are mentoring and encouraging the students on an ongoing basis, willing to support them in the hard times. And students, we need you to be willing to continue to learn and let others pour into you. Third, we need to be willing to invite students to the table. So what does that mean? So growing up, I would always go to my great aunt and uncle's house for Thanksgiving dinner. This was great. We would gather together with my cousins, but I want you to know that there were several problems with this as well. So my great aunt and uncle, they did not like kids and weren't too fond of the 10 little kids running around their house. So they came up with a solution to this problem, what they saw as a problem, and that solution was that the kids were only allowed in the screened-in porch in the middle of winter. Now, it wasn't a great solution for us kids, but the real problem was not necessarily that, but it was that our family, when our family would gather, there was too many of us, adults and kids, that we weren't able to all sit around the same table together. Like most families at holiday gatherings, the solution to this problem is to have a kids' table and an adult table. And and the kids' table, in this case, happened to be on the screened-in porch. When an adult table and a kids' table are created at family gatherings, normally it's more fun for the kids, and frankly, it's better for the adults as well. We as a church, not just Clay Center Covenant Church, have done the same thing. Intentionally or unintentionally, there's this kind of separation that happens. But the separation is causing students to shelf their faith because they need intergenerational relationships. What would it look like for the children, the students, and adults not only to worship together but to serve together, reach out to our community together, pray together, learn together, play together, share all aspects of life together? Our church does a great job of this. Did you see our worship team this morning? Our church does a great job at integrating the youth. But we need to continue. We need to continue to invite the students to the table. What would it look like for the students and adults to use their gifts that God has given them to serve alongside each other? What if we were to stop and learn from the students? Learn about the shifting culture that's happening in our community that we live in. Learn about what they see as needs in our community. and how the church can reach their generation for Jesus. What would it look like if we invited the students into the conversations about the future of the church and where the church is going? After all, students are not the future of the church. They are the church here and now. God can use them, and God has gifted them. What if it was normal and natural to integrate the children, students, and adults in every aspect of life in the church, where true relationships were built, where God's word can be taught, and where life can be shared together? I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." We as a community of believers need to live life together with them, encouraging them to walk with Jesus, showing them what it means to follow Jesus, bringing them along and not leaving them on the sidelines. On this journey of faith that we are all walking, we are called to make the space for the youth, to not only create the space, but invite them to join you. Students, thanks for sharing about what Jesus is doing in your life, how Jesus is at work in your life. Our hope and our prayer is that you will continue to walk close to Jesus, and that you will continue to come alongside, that we will continue to come alongside you and point you to Jesus. But I want to ask you to come alongside us as well. Come alongside us and point us to Jesus. Point us to Jesus. We need you. Now, my friends, I've spoken a lot about what it takes to have sticky faith. But we also need to back up. And we need to recognize how God has been at work. And we need to praise God for how God has been at work. And so when we dedicate or baptize a child at Clay Center Covenant Church, these are the words that are spoken from the pastor. We say, "The Christian nurture of this child cannot be assumed by parents and sponsors alone. Since we are members of one another in the fellowship of the church, the responsibility of caring for the newly baptized or dedicated must be shared by all. In receiving and caring for this child, will you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, do your part by word and deed with love and prayer to guide and nurture this child, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and caring for them as Christ's own?" And then we ask, if so, say, "With God's help, we will." And so then the congregation typically says, "With God's help, we will." And in God's help, we have. Students, others have cared for you. Others have prayed for you. Others have shared Jesus with you. They have loved you. I'm reminded of what love is in 1 John 4, 7 through 12. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So students, the people sitting in these pews, they've loved you. They've shown you Jesus through their love. They cared for you. They nurtured you. They fulfilled their promise as a congregation. You experienced Christ's love through them. If you didn't know it, they set examples for you. Students, please stand up. Turn around. All right, congregation, this is our interactive part, okay? All right, so if I say, if you're at home too, you could stand up as well in this interactive part. So I am going to say a few things. And if this applies to you in relation to any of these students, I'd like you to stand up. And I'd like you to remain standing. Please stand up if you have ever held one of these students as a baby. Look at this. Please stand up if you have ever shared a holiday or family meal with one of these students, a meal in general. If you've shared a meal with these students, please stand up. Please stand up if you have ever taught one of these students in Sunday school, children's worship, VBS, youth group, kids club, kids jam. If you've ever taught one of these students, please stand up. Please stand up if you have ever supported, prayed for, or encouraged one of these students in any way. Students, look around. This is part of being the church. These people have loved you. They've cared for you. They have shown Jesus to you. You may be seated. And my friends, the good news is, students, the good news is, they're not going to stop. They're going to continue to care for you and show Jesus to you. So, as we talk about DC Sunday, as we talk about getting up here, it's not a graduation, but this is a mile marker along the journey of faith that we are walking. This is a point that you could look back on and celebrate what God has been doing in your life. My friends, some of these people that stood up, some of these people that have supported you, some may pass away. Some may move far away from you. Some may not be present for you in times when you might be hurting. But I want you to know that you are never alone, that God loves you, that God deeply loves you, that God is always present for you. God will never leave you or forsake you. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that could separate you from the love of God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for these students. We thank you for your love for them. We thank you for this church and how you have called people to invest in the lives of the students. God, we pray that we can continue to invest in the lives of the students that you bring to us, God. God, may we point others to you in everything that we do. If it's in this building or outside this building, God, we just pray that we can continually point others to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move to communion this morning, the confirmation students are going to actually come up in a minute, and they're going to serve communion to you. And so they're a part of our church. They're a part of who we are. And that's an exciting thing for us. So as we come to this table, we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Him, in Christ, and desire His help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in His holy ways, are invited to draw near in faith and receive this holy sacrament. My friends, this is food for the journey for which God has called us on. Many will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in Him to share the feast He has prepared. According to Luke, when the risen Lord was at the table with His disciples, He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, He took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your love for us, how You shed Your blood and let Your body be broken, so that we may have forgiveness of sins and eternal life, God. God, we pray that You will bless this bread which we eat together and this cup that we drink together. Unite us with one another and with those in heaven and on earth. May our lives reflect You, God. May our lives, our words and actions be pleasing to You and glorify You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.